Welcome back to Asia News Now from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Neil Curry. Coming up in this half hour, a senior al-Qaeda leader is caught in Iraq as a second dragnet is spread west of Baghdad. Iran and the EU trio agree to extend the present nuclear freeze for another few months. Amnesty International sharply criticizes the United States' human rights record. The White House spokesman acknowledges incidents of abuse have occurred, but Amnesty hasn't acknowledged they're being dealt with.
We hold people accountable when there is abuse. We take steps to prevent it from happening again, and we do so in a very public way for the world to see that we lead by example.
And Egypt votes on a constitutional amendment to open its political process. Those stories and more are coming straight ahead in this half hour of VOA Asia News Now. Stay tuned. A major search is underway near Iraq's border with Syria for insurgents following an upsurge in violence that has killed 600 people in Iraq so far this month. VOA's Patricia Noonan reports the U.S. military says 10 suspected insurgents have been killed and 2 U.S. Marines wounded, while in a separate operation, Iraqi forces arrested one of the top aides to terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
About 1,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops swept through the western town of Haditha in what officials call Operation New Market. The pre-dawn offensive brought together Iraqi and U.S. soldiers who raided houses in search of insurgents, while helicopters circled overhead and Marines patrolled the Euphrates River along which the town is situated. It is a second offensive this month in parts of western Iraq near the border with Syria, where Zarqawi's supporters are believed to be hiding. U.S. officials have accused Syria of supporting insurgents who crossed the border to attack U.S. and Iraqi forces. Meanwhile, Iraqi forces made the arrest of Mullah Kamal al-Azwadi as he tried to bribe his way through a checkpoint in the town of Balad. His vehicle was found to contain a global positioning system, multiple identification papers, a scope used to launch mortars, and U.S. currency. Officials say al-Azwadi served as a key aide to Iraq's al-Qaeda frontman, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian-born militant. The statement says al-Azwadi was involved in the funding of terror cells, terrorist training, and the making of car and roadside bombs. Patricia Noonan, VOA News, Baghdad.
Meanwhile, the search continues for terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who an Islamist website says sustained a bullet wound to his right lung. The website says he has been smuggled to a neighboring country for medical treatment. The statement could not be confirmed. The foreign ministers of Britain, France, and Germany reached agreement Wednesday with Iran that its present freeze on nuclear enrichment will continue for another few months. In the meantime, reports Lisa Schlein, the European trio will prepare a new proposal for resolving the standoff over Iran's nuclear program.
British Foreign Minister Jack Straw called the meeting difficult and complex, but he said he believed some success, even if temporary, was achieved. At the end of the meeting, Mr. Straw told journalists that the two sides had had a detailed discussion within the framework of the Paris Agreement, which was negotiated last November.
The European side said that it would make detailed proposals to Iran by the end of July, the beginning of August, as outlined and discussed today and earlier by our officials in the context of the Paris Agreement remaining in force. Iran, for its part, reaffirmed its commitment to not seeking nuclear weapons.
The Paris Agreement obliges Tehran to suspend its uranium conversion and enrichment activities. Iran's chief negotiator, Hassan Rouhani, put a positive spin on the negotiations and said he hoped they would lead to an end of the dispute between his country and the West.
The ministerial meeting was called after Tehran threatened last week that it was planning to resume its uranium reprocessing activities, a process that could lead to the development of nuclear weapons.
Iran claims its program is peaceful and aimed at generating electricity. The European Union warned that it would back Washington's call for UN sanctions if the Iranians did not end their nuclear ambitions. German Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer said the differences between the two sides remain, but a crisis has been averted.
It's not easy to bridge the gap, but it's quite clear for us that as long as all commitments which are part of the Paris Agreement, if all these commitments exist, the process will continue, and we will make our proposal at the end of July, beginning of August, and then we will see.
The European foreign ministers reaffirmed their basic position that Iran must not develop a nuclear weapons program, but they said they believe they could come up with proposals within the framework of the Paris Agreement, which could guarantee that Iran's nuclear program would be for civilian purposes only. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The head of Lebanon's Hezbollah says the terrorist group has more than 12,000 rockets capable of hitting Israel. Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah warned Wednesday they will be used against anyone who tries to disarm Hezbollah, as the United Nations has urged. Hezbollah has repeatedly rejected all disarmament demands. The London-based human rights group Amnesty International issued its annual report Wednesday. Tom Rivers says it charges the war on terror has eroded human rights standards and blames the United States for much of the problem.
Amnesty Secretary General Irene Khan says the United States, by its actions, is sending out a permissive signal to abusive governments, and that's leading to more torture worldwide. Ms. Khan says the United States must end what she calls its practice of indefinite detention, which she says is in breach of international law.
Amnesty International is calling on the U.S. administration to close Guantanamo and disclose the rest. Either release the prisoners or charge and prosecute them with due process. By peddling the politics of fear and division, this new agenda has also encouraged intolerance, racism, and xenophobia.
Amnesty International has been refused access to the prison camp. The Geneva-based International Committee of the Red Cross is the only independent group to have access to the Guantanamo detainees. Amnesty's Khan says the United States sets the human rights standard worldwide and is the most important role model for other nations.
The U.S., as the unrivaled political, military, and economic superpower, sets the tone of government behavior worldwide. By thumbing its nose at the rule of law and human rights, what message does the U.S. send to repressive regimes who have little regard for international law anyway?
Amnesty also criticizes the United Nations as being unable and unwilling to hold its member states to account. The report says the UN Commission on Human Rights has become a forum for horse trading on human rights. Among the few positive trends the group noted in 2004 were U.S. and British legal decisions curbing some anti-terror measures and what Amnesty calls a rise in human rights activism. Tom Rivers for VOA News, London.
VOA's Scott Stearns reports the Bush administration was quick to take exception to the Amnesty report.
White House spokesman Scott McClellan says Amnesty's allegations are ridiculous and unsupported by the facts.
The United States is leading the way when it comes to protecting human rights and promoting human dignity. We have liberated 50 million people in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have worked to advance freedom and democracy in the world so that people are governed under a rule of law, and that there are protections in place for minority rights.
Mr. McClellan says the Bush administration is helping advance women's rights and is leading the way in spreading compassion by funding efforts to fight the spread of AIDS. Mr. McClellan says the ongoing prosecution of many of those involved in the widely publicized abuse of Iraqi detainees at Abu Ghraib prison shows that the United States is serious about protecting human rights.
We are a society based on laws and values. It's not just laws, but also values that we hold dearly. And certainly what you bring up has been a stain on the image of the United States abroad. But if you look at how we address these matters, it shows our commitment to human rights and human dignity. We hold people accountable when there is abuse. We take steps to prevent it from happening again. And we do so in a very public way for the world to see that we lead by example.
The Amnesty report also criticizes the Bush administration for pressuring other governments to sign what it calls unlawful immunity agreements, shielding U.S. personnel from the International Criminal Court. President Bush has said he will not allow American soldiers or diplomats to appear before a tribunal where the United States has no voice and could be used for political purposes. Scott Stearns, VOA News, at the White House.
By a vote of 56-43, the U.S. Senate Wednesday approved President Bush's nomination of Texas Supreme Court Justice Priscilla Owen to the federal bench. First nominated 4 years ago, her confirmation bogged down in a protracted Senate struggle, which was only broken this week. Following that vote, the Senate took up President Bush's nomination of John Bolton to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Although Ohio Republican George Voinovich says he will vote against the nomination, the remaining 54 Republicans are expected to carry the day against the 45 Democrats who oppose Mr. Bolton as too blunt-spoken for the U.N. job. Egyptians cast ballots Wednesday on a constitutional amendment that, for the first time, would allow more than one candidate to run in presidential elections. Ursula Lindsay reports there were several opposition protests, and police made arrests in Cairo and elsewhere around the country.
Opposition groups calling for a boycott of the referendum were shouted down by supporters of President Mubarak's party. Several demonstrations by the anti-Mubarak group Kifeya, which means enough in Arabic, were surrounded by riot police and attacked by young men chanting pro-Mubarak slogans. The men tore up Kifeya banners, threw sticks, and beat demonstrators. They also harassed and tore the clothes off several female demonstrators. Opposition groups say these men and most Mubarak supporters on the streets today were paid or coerced to show up. Mahmoud, 22, held a pro-Mubarak banner, but said he does not support the president. Mahmoud said he was made to come out to support President Mubarak by the company he works for. He said he did not want to lose his job. Opposition groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood, most opposition parties, and activist groups such as Kifeya, called for a boycott of the referendum. In the days before the referendum, 40 members of the Muslim Brotherhood were arrested. 4 Kifeya activists were also detained on Tuesday. The proposed amendment only allows candidates to run who have the support of a percentage of parliament. Parliament is almost entirely controlled by Mubarak's party. Doha, a 22-year-old anti-Mubarak demonstrator, says the new electoral law is designed to ensure that President Mubarak remains president.
Everything is made to make Hosni Mubarak the president. Correct. Delicious. So Mubarak, unfortunately, would be the president for us till he is died. And then his son, Gamal, would be our president.
Others disagree. At a nearby polling station, Reda Abdelaziz, a member of Mr. Mubarak's party, said he had just voted in favor of the amendment.
والله دي خطوة جميلة احنا من ايام الفراعنة مفيش مصري انتخب رئيس مباشر.
Abdelaziz says the amendment is a beautiful step forward. He says Egyptians have never been able to elect their president directly, and now they will have freedom of choice in who they elect, like in America. It is unclear how high turnout has been. A majority of government employees reportedly voted. Some of them bussed in to polling stations on public buses. An officer at the polling station where Abdelaziz voted said that employees from the Ministry of Health, public hospitals, and a government-owned bank had come to vote already. Officials at the polling station, all of whom were seemingly members of the president's party, said no one had shown up to vote against the amendment. Ursula Lindsay for VOA News, Cairo.